Tuesday, January the 26th, after a morning of uncertainty, it was decided that Lyndon would join me in going home about 2 o'clock. Obviously, there was no reason for me to stay any longer, and he felt well enough to go. The doctors are delighted with his progress and spoke with guarded optimism about the possibility of him going to London. At first, they had been adamant against it. He's appointed a tentative delegation of Rusk and the Chief Justice, the third member to be decided after it's determined whether or not he himself will go. President Eisenhower is going as a guest of the family. The world is at a strange sort of standstill, caught in a moment of remembering and of salute by Churchill's death. And for us here at the hub of government, the wheels are slowed down because Lyndon is in the hospital. He walked out just a little before 2 o'clock, between an army of photographers, parted like the Red Sea by a carpet that led straight to our car. Was a microphone and a few questions, but we kept on walking. In the afternoon, I gratefully got to Mr. Pear's for a couple of hours of repair, and then back at the White House for a much-needed session with Liz, Bess, and Christine. Poor Christine, for her sake, I sure ought not to get sick right on top of the inauguration. Letters have risen to about 800 a day. As if that weren't enough, Lucy Baines' announcement, not made by her, of course, but the fact that she's taking Catholic instruction, has produced another minor freshet of letters. Liz, who takes a dim view of it, was surprised and relieved to see that there were only 40 of them. To me, nearly all 40, of course, against it, but not cruelly so, she said. I must read a sampling. The net of the meeting was that we are making progress, but a long way from solving the correspondence section. A private office for Christine, some petitions to introduce a little privacy and order will help, and we hope that'll take place within the next month. In turn, Lyndon had a long meeting with Jack, Bill, and Buzz, which I joined in later. I am increasingly impressed with Bill Moyer's performance, his swift, clear answers, his ability to stick to what's the important thing, keep on its track, and usually get it done. And I'm sad because he looks so frail and pale. On nobody has the last few months been harder than on George. His ability to stand it much longer, I wonder about. He's like a stag at bay with a pack of reporters sometimes when you watch a press conference.